To you tonight about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also commonly known as the Mormons. If you haven't got one of these things, we might have some more over there. It's one per family, really. It's a unique, it's got quite a bit of information about all kinds of different cults, Jehovah's Witnesses, Spiritualism, Mormons, the Unification Church at Sun Myung Moon, Unity Church, so on and so forth. A lot of different things on the categories that are most important doctrine from the Bible. But tonight I want to talk about what Mormons believe. Right? And it is a dangerous, dangerous cult, folks. Let me start off by saying that this church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, boasts about 15 million followers. Now, what's unusual about that is most of the followers now live outside of America. There are more Mormons outside of America than there are in America. Now, that'll tell you something. Now, they are quite dedicated to their religion. How many of you have had these kind of guys show up at your door? Or you've seen them walking down the street? They are very dedicated. Matter of fact, they're so dedicated. Now, how did that happen? I thought I'd fix that. Let me go through these and see if it disappeared. Okay. They believe the Bible. No. Hold on. I'll come here. They are quite dedicated. We'll just hold up there on dedicated. Let me read these things. They give large amounts of time and money to serving in their church. As a matter of fact, the church makes 6 billion euros a year in income. It's not a bad thing to give to your church. Many young Mormons, 83,000 of them, choose to serve as full-time proselytizing missions every year. Right now, there are 83,000 Mormon missionaries all over the world. Now, that's not a bad thing either. Listen, if you believe something, you ought to believe it, and you ought to live by it. Now, these guys are quite dedicated. They have a health code that rejects alcoholic beverages. That's good. They reject tobacco. That's good. They reject coffee. That's bad. They reject tea. That's bad. They have a health code, requirements. It's not a bad thing to have expectations. They tend to be very family-oriented. They have very strong connections across generation lines with extended family. It's not a bad thing at all. They're extremely dedicated. They also have a strict law of chastity. They require abstinence outside of marriage. And they require people to stay married. That's not a bad thing. But they label themselves as Christian. And that's the difference. Even though many of their beliefs differ from biblical Christianity. They believe the Bible. Or they will hold up the Bible and say, yes, that's the Word of God, as long as it is accurately translated. Funny. But they believe other books are equal with the Holy Scriptures. Like the Book of Mormon. All right? And like the Pearl of Great Price. And like another book called Doctrines and Covenants. They believe, this is why they call themselves Christians, and I don't agree, because they believe Jesus and Satan are brothers. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. They also believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, but they go too far. They go way too far. They believe that Jesus had at least 3 wives, and many children, of which Joseph Smith just happens to be a descendant. Isn't that unique? They believe that everyone, and this is kind of one of the weirdest ones, they believe everyone already is a Mormon. You were born as a spirit baby Mormon. You just didn't know it yet. Okay. And yet they call themselves Christians. These are not Christians. They're not Christ followers, but Joseph Smith followers. They are a cult, folks, and they keep anybody in their religion damned and under the wrath of God. Go to John 3:36, please. John 3 and verse 36. John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son, not on Joseph Smith, but he that believeth on the Son hath already everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son, I don't care what else you believe, man, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth
on him.
Oh, but the Mormons are such good people. Oh, they're such good living people.
The wrath of God abideth on them.
You know, the only difference between me and a Mormon is Jesus Christ. Now, a Mormon will tell you the difference between Pastor Ledbetter and us is Joseph Smith. You see, they have elevated Joseph Smith so high, and we're going to look about some of it tonight, that it'll scare you. Folks, the only thing that'll keep you out of hell is Jesus Christ. All right, so how Mormonism started? We got to find out where this thing started. It didn't start from the Bible, folks. It started from a nightmare. Started from a vision. It never existed anywhere in history until 1830. Here was a young 14-year-old man named Joseph Smith. Did you hear me? 14 years old. How many of you are somewhere near 14 years old? One, two. You stinking liar. You're 14, aren't you? 14 years old. This is Joseph Smith. A 14-year-old young man named Joseph Smith grew up and he lived in Western New York. Over in America. There were a lot. It was at a time in the 1820s and 1830s when there was preaching going on every night of the week. There were churches that were just on fire, preaching the gospel, calling men and women to repent. And there were so many people getting saved. And this young man, at 14 years old, got excited about religion. And he prayed for God to show him what church to join. Well, in answer to his prayers, he was visited out in the woods by two angels. What he thought were angels, he found out that they weren't angels. They were God the Father and Jesus, God the Son, who showed up. And they told him to join no church because all the churches at that time were false, and that he, this 14-year-old boy, would himself bring forth a true church. And that was called the first vision. Now, he didn't just have one vision. He actually had loads of visions. In 1823, he had a visitation by an angel called Moroni. I call it something else, just drop the I. Anyway. And he told him that there is a lost text, secret text, over on a hill somewhere, buried, that was a sacred text that should be made part of the Bible. It was written by ancient Jews who lived in America. This sacred text was engraved on tablets of stone, solid gold. And it was written in an Egyptian language, we call it hieroglyphics, I'll talk about it more, not next week, but the week after, called Reformed Egyptian language, and it was buried in a nearby hill. It just happened to be nearby where he lived. Now, Joseph was told that the history of the ancient peoples of America was in that on those gold plates. And Joseph would be the instrument for bringing this unknown history to the world as a revelation. He would save the world. So he went and he found these gold plates. Can you imagine? Now, there were hundreds of pages. Are you listening? Hundreds of pages. I don't know how many pages. I don't think he even described. He said he lost 116 of them. Gold pages. But if you picked up pages about 10 inches high, 8 or 9 inches wide, and there were 116 of them that were lost, but let's say there were 300 total. If you picked up that much gold, a 14-year-old kid, all right, you're seeing where it's still going here now? Okay. He went and he found these, and he miraculously was able to read them. It was written in Egyptian hieroglyphics. Did you know that there was nobody outside of New York City who had even an idea of what the hieroglyphics on the Egyptian walls meant? It was only 20 years earlier that a Frenchman had actually found the Rosetta Stone and was able to translate hieroglyphics. So it had only been 20 years earlier where they even started to translate the Egyptian. So he said he could understand these writings. Now, he published those plates as a book known as the Book of Mormon. This is what was contained on those gold plates. You see how much writing that is? You see how many pages that would have been in gold?
Do you think a 14-year-old kid, unless he weighed 400 pounds, do you think he actually was able to lift that many plates? I mean, this is not a little flimsy paper. This is something that was serious weight, but he says that he was able to do it. Now, this definitely was not the last vision that Joseph had. Throughout his life, he had over 130 recorded visions where he wrote down the revelations. And that turned into the Book of Mormon. Now, the Book of Mormon is supposedly a religious and a secular history of the inhabitants of the American continent. They go way back to 2000 B.C. and all the way up to 421 A.D. It tells the reader of the American that the American Indians really are the descendants of three groups of immigrants that came from the Far East, or from the Near East. One group was from the Tower of Babel about the time of Abraham. Another were two groups from Jerusalem just before the Jews were dispersed of the Babylonian captivity. And many of the descendants of these immigrants were known already as Christians even before Jesus was born. The Book of Mormon wrote about Christians walking around in America before Jesus was born. That's weird. Okay. They haven't caught that one yet. Over time, the light-skinned, I forget how he called them, he called the delightsome-looking Indians. And the dark-skinned, I forget what he called them, but they were called the unbelievers. The light-skinned believers and the dark-skinned unbelievers fought many wars, and the last of which left only the dark-skinned unbelievers as survivors, and they are the ancestors of the American Indians. Oh. The most important event during their long history, was the visit of Jesus Christ, who went to America after he left Peter, James, and John. He says, I'm going to heaven. No, I'm not. I'm going to America. Bye. And he went to America. And he ministered to all of those dark-skinned rebels and won them all to God. You getting the idea? Now, his idea was to restore the true church. Joseph Smith was directed by this revelation of God to reestablish the true church, which he attempted and started to do in 1830. And he was visited several times by these heavenly messengers, by Moroni and other angels, who ordained him to the one true priesthood. He continued to have revelations that would guide him and guide the church. And these revelations, 131 of them, 132 of them, in a book called the Doctrine of the Covenants. Now, what's funny is none of this agrees with history. In 1828, 8 years after he says he had been told by God, 8 years after God told him, don't join any church, he tried to join the Methodist Church. He got the records. His own family members, his mom and his dad and his brothers and sisters, were all members of the Presbyterian Church of the area. Joseph Smith was not known to be a very spiritual man at 14 at all. He was known as a storyteller. He was consistently described as someone, quote, whose chief source of income was being hired out to local farmers to help them find buried treasure through the use of seer stones. We'll see those words come up in a moment. Joseph Smith was actually caught, tried, and convicted in 1826 on a charge of money digging extortion, by pretending to know where gold mines were and treasures were located underground. And he always charged people ahead of time, up front, so he could help them find gold and treasure. Folks, the Book of Mormon is so full of details of the history and culture of these two vast Indian ancient civilizations, the Lamanites and the Nephites, that you would think that they would have found this stuff. They even have maps. They conveniently removed the maps from the modern Book of Mormon, but the old Books of Mormon all had maps in them of where all these towns and cities were all over. This is, by the way, this is the Eastern United States.
Where's Jersey? There's New Jersey. All right? That's Manhattan, Long Island. This is the land of Nephi, Shiloh, Alma, Jerusalem. You know what? Out of the hundreds of towns that are named, out of the dozens of rivers that are named, let me find my actual, 38 cities, dozens of rivers and seas, crops listed, kinds of animals, kings, massive wars, battlefields, palaces. You'd think that they could find something archaeologically that would prove that those things actually had been there, and there's not one. Nada. Zilch. Zero. Whatever it is in your language, amen. You know, the most significant and troublesome truth is that there is a total lack of evidence that anything that is written in the Book of Mormon is anywhere to be found in America. Not only has a single city never been found, not one sword or shield, not one scrap of Reformed Egyptian language, not one battlement. Folks, the Book of Mormon doesn't even describe the people who actually were there. Doesn't even describe the actual... I mean, there were millions of real, live American Indians living there. And it doesn't describe them at all. You skipped them all. Even Mormon scholars kind of admit this. They say, there's no evidence. But we believe it anyway. And let me tell you, it gives a bad name to Christianity. Because I don't believe the Bible just because I have a warm, fuzzy feeling that makes me want to believe it. Like a Mormon does. I believe the Bible because it's true. Right? I put it to the test. I'm not a religious man. I'm a saved man. I've been born again by the Spirit of God because I believed the Word of God. I believed it because I found it to be true. Not because I want it to be true, but because I found it to be true. Did you know the Latter-day Saint Church has spent hundreds of millions of dollars over the last 50 years to try and prove through archaeological research that the Book of Mormon actually has history to it, is actually true. But they haven't produced one proof, not one coin. Did you know when the Bible talks about a penny, Jesus actually held up a penny and says, whose inscription is on this penny? Did you know they found pennies with the inscription of Caesar on them, the dates of the very year of Christ holding it up? Every coin, every country, almost every town listed in the Bible has been found. But not one thing for the Book of Mormon. You say, why would anybody believe it? I'll have to tell you about that next week. Okay? Why would anybody be in the Mormon church? Ask yourself, why on a Saturday night do people crowd to get into the Catholic church after all the things? Why? There's a reason, folks. Not because they believe it. You know, the Mormon missionaries I've talked to don't really believe this book. Okay? They believe an ideal. They believe in what they hope to be true. They don't believe the stuff I'm showing you. As a matter of fact, if you brought up their holy underwear, they'll slap you. Because they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to believe in this stuff. So Mormonism doesn't agree with history. You can reject it. It's not a holy book. It's not a sacred book. Now, I got to move on to the life of Joseph Smith. I'm going to say some things very strong. And I'm going to say it because the Bible says, don't judge based on appearance, but judge righteous judgment. I've looked at the evidence. I'm going to tell you this. When you look at Joseph Smith, he was a constant liar. There was a book at the time that Joseph Smith was 14, 15, 16 years old. Are you listening? It was not very popular. As a matter of fact, it had been edited and been passed around up in the New England states for about 20, 30 years. It was called A View of the Hebrews. And when Joseph Smith produced the Book of Mormon,
They actually said, you know, that sounds like the book called The View of the Hebrews. In The View of the Hebrews, it was a fictional story. It was a made-up fairy tale how the American Indians were really Jewish people who had left Israel and came all the way over to the Americas. Sound familiar? He evidently took that fictional book about the American Indians and changed it into a religious book. Now, Joseph Smith's own mother wrote and said that when he was a child, he would sit and entertain his family with the made-up stories that he made up of ancient inhabitants of America with incredible detail. He could make them up on the spot. After he married, and this is why I call him a liar, after marrying his first wife, note the word first, after marrying his first wife, Fanny Young, he constantly lied not only to the public, but also to her about marrying more women until it was found out. And when he was found out, he stood on a pulpit one day and he says, well, God told me it was okay. Filthy, wicked liar. If it was God told you that when you took your second wife, why did you lie? You see, you can catch a liar. God hates liars. Joseph Smith was a liar. He lied to his own wife for years about having these secret marriages. And then he had the audacity to stand up there from a pulpit and say, God told me it was okay to have extra wives. As a matter of fact, he encouraged me. Well, if he told you back then, why did you wait 4 years or 3 years before you finally admitted it? It'll blow you away just how religion seems to give people the ability to live above God's laws. That's why I'm not religious. He was a fake treasure seeker. He used these seer stones, which were basically fairly large quartz stones that were fairly smooth, and he carried some of them with him. Since he was a young lad, he would use them, and he would carry them. All right, now watch this. He carried them in his hat. So he looked pretty cool, where he'd come along and he'd say, how you do, ma'am? I've got these seer stones, and they help me find treasure. It'll only cost you X, Y, and Z. Well, he would go from farm to farm, helping people, and then he would run for his life. He was also an extortioner and a thief. But you know, he actually became a Mason. You know what a Freemason is? He joined the Masonic Lodge before in about 1822, 1823, joined the Masonic Lodge, and he became a Master Mason. And he saw all the funny-looking symbols, and he said, well, those are good. And so when he did his Book of Mormon, and he created a series of handshakes. I'll talk about this more next week. But, you know, like we come along, give me, I'm going to shake your hand, right? We go like this, you know, that, you know, that, and we go, cool, you know. Well, the Mormons and the Masons have a very serious degree of being, right? You know, you can tell you're with another Mormon based on their handshake, the way that they come in and they make contact, the way that they do like this and they touch. I'm not being weird, don't worry. But they go like this, you know. And it's a communication thing. There's secret stuff. But he stole all that and he then made it part of Mormonism. And he says, those are revelations from God of how we can let each other know that we're in the crowd. And he was kicked out of the Masonic group because he stole their symbols. And he started charging people to buy his little list of secret handshakes and symbols that they needed to put on their house. One of them was an eyeball. If you ever look at an American dollar, turn it around, there's this eye over a pyramid that's looking down there. It's an evil symbol. And he said, we need that on our houses. You do not. He got that from the Masons. He was also a polygamist. You know, he married, now they're not sure about all the numbers, but they got a list. He married at least 40 women. Two of which were 14 years old at marriage. One was 16 years old. One was as old as 58.
Do you know, he died in 1844. You ready? In 1843, he married 18 women. No wonder he died. No, he died another way. Brigham Young said, I'm not going to let him be outdone. However many, now that's not all his wives and all his children. Let's just give you an idea of what polygamy does. His successor, Brigham Young, officially married 50 women. He was a polygamist. He faked his ability to supernaturally translate a real Egyptian scroll. He actually was able to buy a real ancient Egyptian scroll, and he said, I can read it, just wait. And it took him years, but the idea is this. He sat down and he wrote a portion of what's now parts of the Book of Mormon, called the Book of Abraham, and he wrote what he said that scroll said. You know what's funny? About 50, 60 years later, some people finally took him on and said, you're a liar. Those scrolls basically describe Egyptian death scenes where this is a dead person and this is the god of death bringing them into darkness. And he was saying, no, this was Abraham and this was an Egyptian priest, and these were all symbols. And this talks about how Abraham was telling them about how the God of heaven was the God that ruled. This is a description of all of the foods that are in these tins. He made it up. He made it up. He was a fraud. He was a faker. And if there's a Mormon in here, they'd walk out right now. They'd be so mad at me because they're not allowed to listen to anybody question their faith. He promoted himself, listen, he promoted himself as the person that everyone ultimately will have to face at the judgment. Listen to these words that he wrote in Doctrine of Covenant. I had a vision, folks, ladies and gentlemen, I had a vision. No man or woman in this dispensation will ever enter into the celestial kingdom of God without my consent. You want to be a Mormon now? Well, here's the thing. You're not a Mormon. You want to leave people in that? You know what an atheist says? The problem is religion. You know what a Christian says? The problem is a lie. I hate lies. I know there is one God and one Jesus Christ. I know there's one Bible. I've tested it. I've proven it. That's not a question. But all these other things, people are locked and enslaved by their religion. And then the persecution. The persecution. Joseph Smith and his followers were continually rejected by normal people. Their religious beliefs were beyond belief. So they were driven out of New York, further and further west to Ohio, then to Missouri, and then to a state called Illinois. You know where Chicago is? Chicago, Illinois, okay? That's the same state. Well, it was there that he was murdered in 1844. He actually jumped out of a first floor prison, not a very good prison, because 200 men had surrounded there. This man had declared martial law over a town called Nauvoo. He basically ran the town like a grip iron, and when there was a newspaper in the town that published that he was continually marrying 18 wives that year, a polygamist. He was continually marrying, even though it was illegal in the United States. It was against the law. When this newspaper published the names of his wives, he ordered that building be burned and those people run out of town. Well, they said, you're not doing that. These were people who said, it's freedom of speech. It's a newspaper. Who are you to be able to shut something down? So, now they burned the building. The town was for him. The town was a Mormon town. And they burned the building. But these 200 men surrounded it. And he actually the sheriff and the magistrate came into town and actually said, you've committed treason by doing such a thing. It kind of goes back to the law. And so they put him in prison, in jail, in preparation for trial. Well, these 200 men said, we don't want to wait for trial. This guy has done nothing. that take advantage of our wives and our women and spread lies and spread religious falsehoods, and they wanted him dead. And I don't agree with that. But 200 men stormed into that building and were trying to kill him, so he jumps out. Well, on his way, there's a bunch of other people outside, and they just sat and filled him with lead. They shot him on his way down. And once he hit ground, they kept shooting him. Now, what's sad is that's not the end. You see, Joseph is now honored as a martyr of the faith. Joseph Smith's murder is referred to as the proof that he has saved the world by his blood. So if you ever talk to a Mormon, ask him, what happened when Joseph Smith was murdered? And they will beam. He died a martyr. Really? They really see him. I'm going to quote in just a few minutes about how high they lift him up. They really see him as greater than Jesus Christ. Now, it goes on, leadership today, you say, how can a church continue? How can a religion continue? Well, it does. It was led by a very brilliant man called Brigham Young, where he said, we're going further west. And he took a very hearty group of people and led them out and over to the untamed area of Utah. And they settled there successfully. And then there were chosen successors after Brigham Young. They're secretly chosen, by the way. They don't take a vote. Now, let me say this. Its direction as a church and its core teachings have changed dramatically throughout its 180 history. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is not like the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that Joseph Smith started. Do you know what kind of church I want to have? Brother Dan, give me one guess. What kind of church do I want to have? I want a first century church. I want to have a church that's just like it started. Okay? But the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that started in 1830 is nothing like it was when it started. So, you've got a president there of the church who's believed to be a prophet. A revelator, a seer. Just as Joseph Smith was. And like every pope claims to be. And he guides the members of the church through constant new revelations that God gives them. And he says, you know what the new president just said like 2 months ago? He said, God has now revealed that homosexuality is not wrong. You know why he did that? Because he wants to keep them in the church. He's got to keep his numbers up. And what Mormons believe, we're going to just go through a few things, and I hope it just wakes you up to realize we're not all the same, folks. There are differences. And thank God that there are things to believe. But be challenged about what you believe. There are people, if you come in contact with you, they're good people. They believe that when they die, they just go to the dirt in a grave and they don't live at all anymore. Doesn't that grieve you? Their belief that they're just dust, going back to dust, and there's no life after death. That's a wrong belief, isn't it? Right? To believe that you are a God in the making and that one day you will be a God over your own planet is just as wrong as believing that there is no God. Now the modern Latter-day Saint Church is believed to be the only one true church restored by God through none other than Joseph Smith. And this is what they believe, all other churches are apostate. But the Mormons don't just believe that kind of a weird thing. They actually have a unique view of the universe. Maybe you didn't know this, but according to Mormonism, there is an infinite, almost infinite number of planets throughout the universe, and they're all ruled by countless gods. On one of those planets, a little baby named Elohim was born as a spirit child. Elohim was later, as that spirit child, put into a physical baby and was given a physical body. And through his obedience, remember Elohim, who's Elohim? That's supposed to be God Almighty. That's supposed to be the God of the Bible. Elohim was a baby, and he grew up, and he obeyed Mormon teachings before the Book of Mormon was written. And through death and the power of his ability to resurrect, Elohim proved himself worthy and he was elevated to godhood. Elohim is the Mormon's heavenly father. And anytime you talk to a Mormon, they'll talk about our heavenly father. Our heavenly father. The heavenly father. Now that's a biblical term. But folks, they're talking about a different father. Elohim is the Mormon's heavenly father, and this heavenly father doesn't live around here. He lives with many wives on a planet near a star called Kolob. I'm not sure if that's an actual photograph or not. I don't know. And it's there that the Mormon God has endless relationship with as many wives as he has, producing billions of spirit children. In the unique review of the universe, Joseph Smith said the moon is fully inhabited with people that are about 6 feet tall. They look like Quakers, which means they wear those funny hats, and they live to be about 1,000 years old. And he said, within 50 years, I'll be preaching to them. What he said. Another thing that's crazy about the universe, he wrote in his Doctrine and Covenants, is God revealed to me the sun is not actually producing any light at all. It is reflecting the light of Kolob. The sun is producing its own light. Okay? They have a unique view of the universe. They also have a strange view of Jesus and Satan. I already said you that. Okay? In time past, in eternity past, when Elohim created this world, he's trying to decide on how they were going to save man. So the head of the Mormon gods called a council, and Elohim's two oldest sons were there, Lucifer and Jesus. They were the sons of God. The decision was made to create earth and send all spirit children there to learn good and evil. And Lucifer wanted to force everyone to become gods, but the Mormon Jesus wanted to give people freedom of choice. He's a good Jew. A vote approved the Mormon Jesus' idea, and Jesus was going to, he was voted to be the savior of the world. Well, Lucifer got so angry that he convinced a third of the other spirits destined for earth to fight with him in a revolt. Lucifer and his followers were sent to earth, forever denied physical bodies, and they exist now as Satan and his demons. That's what they believe. Now, they never tell you that when they're talking to you and trying to get you to become a Mormon. Humanity goes crazy. Those who remain neutral in the fight between God and Satan were cursed and born with black skin. You see, the spirit baby that became a black baby didn't take sides up in heaven. That's a weird thought. So you're black because you didn't make up your mind. Those who fought most valiantly against Lucifer were born into Mormon family. Elohim came to earth later on with one of his wives, and he created Adam and Eve. Weird. Thousands of years later, Elohim got bored, and so he came to earth again as a human, and he met Mary, and he produced Jesus. Jesus had at least three wives, Mary, Martha, and Mary Magdalene, and he fathered many children before he died. No, he didn't. Then it gets weirder. Almost done. After Jesus resurrected, Jesus came to America to preach to the Indians, who really were the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Indians were Israel, okay. And the dark-skinned Israelites, the Lamanites, killed off all the white-skinned Israelites, the Nephites. But the last remaining Nephites recorded the history on gold plates and buried it in a hill so that Joseph Smith could find them. Joseph Smith himself, 1,400 years after the last battle of the Nephites and the Lamanites, Joseph Smith supernaturally uncovers the golden plates near his home in upstate New York. This supposed prophet was given visions in which he was told to organize this new church, and he now was going to enforce a rigid code of financial and moral requirements so that through secret temple rituals, Mormons could prove their worthiness to become gods. Take your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to finish with just a few scriptures and we're gone. Genesis chapter 3. And I'm already going to give you a heads up. If you ever get a chance to witness to a Mormon, show them Genesis chapter 3. Because it unsettles them. Genesis chapter 3. Where does the idea that you can become gods come from? Satan. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field and which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Don't worry about what God said. I want to give you some new revelation. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened and ye shall be as gods. So who's the one who wants people to think they become gods? Satan. Folks, Joseph Smith, according to Mormonism, right? Now it's after he's gone. It was about 50, 60 years later, in one of the presidential decrees honoring Joseph Smith on his birthday, he said this. He said, Joseph Smith has done more for mankind than any other man, including Jesus Christ. One of the presidents of the Mormon Church, back about 80 years ago. Is there a problem with that statement? One last statement somebody else made. Joseph Smith died as a martyr so that we can become gods. It's utter confusion. Oops. Somebody got a warped idea of who Joseph Smith was. I know what he was. He was a sinner. He was a liar. He was a thief. You know what? And so are you. I don't trust one of you to tell me the truth. Amen? Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Amen. I'll trust Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's a difference between Jesus and old Joseph. And let's finish this up. Galatians chapter 1 already warned us about the Mormon church. Galatians chapter 1. I was listening to somebody preach there earlier in the week. Boy, he went to town. Man, he preached. But he said something. He said lots of good things. But he said something. He said, why is the church losing momentum? Why is Christianity not making the impact? You know what he said? Because we're not fighting anything. And I just went, man, we're kind of just snuggling up with the world. We're kind of just getting along with everybody. The things that Joseph Smith taught and enacted in this group, they almost got a man to be elected president of the United States, Mitt Romney. I don't doubt that he may be a good man. He may be able to lead America better than the current one. I don't know. But Mormonism is dangerous. You wouldn't want your sister being a Mormon. You know what? The only hope for a woman in the Mormon church is eternal pregnancy. All you're good for in eternity. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this. A man can get so many celestial wives. Today, you still can get as many heavenly wives. You're only allowed one physical wife. But when the man is resurrected, he gets to choose what woman he resurrects to be his wife in eternity. Talk about abuse. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. I marvel. Now, I think Paul's looking way ahead and seeing Christians being duped. Because did I tell you? I've said it before. 30% of all Mormons in America label themselves as used to be Baptists. 30% used to be Baptists. I aim to fix that. Galatians chapter 1 says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed. Somebody's changed you from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Guess what they call this? Another testament. I have the Old Testament, I have the New Testament, and then I have another testament, another gospel. Moved into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, and Paul doesn't stop with just apostles, he says, though we are, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? What's another word for accursed? Anathema or damned. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You know, if God takes the time to repeat something, it's really big. Proverbs 14:2 says that, well, let me go on through here. These are serious differences between the Mormon church and Jesus' church. We've just started to look at what Mormons believe and teach, and when we compare what the Bible says, there's no way it could be considered. Would you consider the Mormons Christian? No. I know a lot of churches that may be slightly different than we are. They're Christian. Alright? They're saved. They're people who are born again. We just don't see eye to eye on several things. You understand what I'm saying? But there are groups out there that have no business calling themselves the Church of Jesus Christ. They're a cult. I'm going to say this, religion damns, folks. I don't care whether you're Mormon or Catholic or Protestant or Baptist or Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Oh, it seems so religiously right, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Jesus exposes all religions as false if he is not the only light of the world and if he is not the only Savior of mankind. John chapter 8 verse 12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, not Joseph Smith. He that followeth who? I like that. I'm just going to follow Jesus. Doesn't that make it simple? How does somebody live the Christian life? Follow Jesus. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. You're only one voice talking about yourself. Thy record is not true. Well, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell where I came, where I come, and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me through his miracles. Then they said unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. Because why? Because we're in the same. Verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me. And who's he talking to? The Pharisees. To the severely religious crowd. He says, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And said the Jews, well, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he saith unto them, you're from beneath. I'm from above. You're of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, that I am God, that I am the light of the world, I am the Savior, ye shall die in your sins. Any religion, all religion damns. Can you nod your head? If somebody, and I want to say religion can make a good person out of you on the outside, can it not? It can convince a lot of people that that religion is good. But if you don't believe that Jesus is the Savior and the only Savior of the world, if He is God in the flesh, if you don't believe in Jesus, you will die in your sins. Religion damns. Only Jesus saves. And you have a choice. I know most of the world just ignores the issues. They don't want to. Some of you are like, oh, I didn't come to church for this. I know. I hate having to deal with stuff. I'd much rather preach on anything else. Let me tell you, there is a generation of people out there that will not take the time to ask the questions. They are born in the Catholic home. You know what they're going to do? They're going to die Catholic. You know what? There are people that are born Mormon, and they will die Mormon. There are people who are born Muslim and will die Muslim because they will not ask the questions, who is Jesus? Is my religion true? I've read over the past few weeks, I've read dozens of testimonies of Mormons who struggled for years before they ever started to test and to find out whether their suspicion was wrong. Whether the suspicion was right about the Book of Mormon, about the history of the Mormon Church. When they got out of the Mormon church, you know where most of them went? To the Bible. Because they were looking for God. You know what? There are a lot of Catholics around here who really wish they knew God. They've just never known anything different. They need somebody to say that we're not telling them to quit God. Tell them to follow Jesus Christ. Folks, people have a choice. Next week, I'm going to talk about some more weird things and what's wrong with Mormonism. Then I'm going to show you how to witness to them. About 8 kind of key things you can bring up that'll make them think. You remember when you got saved? Somebody had to say something that got you thinking. Remember that? I mean, the most obvious question I ask is, where are you going when you die? Now, if you ask a Mormon that won't help you. Because you know what they're going to say? I'm going to celestial city. I'm going to celestial kingdom. I've already been in the temple ceremony. I'm a shoo-in. They're going to tell you, I know where I'm going. That won't work with them. You're going to have to ask them a question that'll make them think. Like, where did the first idea of a man becoming a God come from? They don't know that answer. And if you show them Genesis chapter 3, amen. Sometimes you got to get mad before you get glad, amen? All right. Are there any questions? I can only guess. I cannot tell you, because he never wrote, I don't believe he ever wrote anything honest. He already was well known for telling tall tales. Like, what do they call them here? What are the storytellers here in Ireland? Shanachiels. Everybody loved to listen to his tales. So he wasn't making much money as a treasure seeker. And so people would have him come, and he would tell stories. And he found out that people liked him when he would talk about the American Indians. And I don't think sometimes the things that we dream up are all from ourselves. I think the devil used him. I think the devil actually appeared to him as an angel. I didn't take it to the verse, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 it says, the devil will appear as an angel of light. He doesn't appear as a ogre with fangs and tail. So I believe he had visitations. I believe Satan talked to him like he was an angel. I believe he was demonically influenced. I believe ultimately he started to believe his own lies. The Masons had an influence on him. But it wasn't the beginning. He actually borrowed. He was a plagiarist. As a matter of fact, in 2 weeks from now, I'll show you, he copies at least 15 entire chapters out of your King James Bible and puts it in a book and claims it was written 1,000 years earlier. Huh? It's impossible that you will read the King James Bible word for word in a book that was from 421 AD. They didn't speak the King's English in 421, right? Anyway, So he was a plagiarist. He just bought everything he could in order to make his religion sound good. Okay? I think he was a desperate man in order to make things big. Yes, Martin? That's on heaven, right? That's right. Okay, you can't use that verse. You're going to have to use very specific verses like the one I showed you in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 where it says there, or chapter 8, it says, there are many gods, but there's only one. So to claim that there are all these planets ruled by gods and Elohim is one God, you're going to have to go to, like I did this morning where I showed you Isaiah 44, where it says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no God. Is there a God beside me? I know not any. You're going to have to show them those verses that go right at the core of their religion, of their faith. You can't just say, you need Jesus. If you said that to a Catholic, what would a Catholic say? I have Jesus. I take him every Sunday, every Saturday in the Mass. I believe in Jesus. You're going to have to go for the foundation of what they're believing, okay? So in 2 weeks, I'll actually give you a list of about 8 things that will help you shake them up, okay? Tony. No. Matter of fact, Joseph Smith claimed that he knew where they were hidden. He went and he hid them after they translated. He actually had some people he claimed. This is funny. He had first 3 witnesses and they 8 more witnesses, I think they were, that actually saw these gold plates, all right, and watched him translate. Then almost all of them said, we weren't really there, we lied. Okay. But anyway, so he said he's got this, he won't tell anybody where it is because God told him not to ever look at them again. So that's kind of convenient. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Right. Yes. And they bring up a point that this is a religious book. And it's a very old book. Okay? But what they need to know is that it has been tested. That anybody who is a born-again Christian doesn't just believe it because it makes them feel good. You can't be saved unless you believe with all your heart. Not with all your mind. There are going to be lots of questions you have. But you're going to have to decide there is a God, and that he became a man, and he let religious people kill him. You got to believe that it actually happened. You can't just believe it's a nice story. So your mom and other people are, and so they're going to listen to all the stuff on the news saying the Bible's been disproved, and they're lying. That's not true. The Bible's never been disproved. Okay? They question it. But you're going to have to get a little bit of evidence to put back in the plate, because I found this. A whole lot of darkness can be turned with just a little bit of light. If we turn off the lights in this room and it's pitch black and somebody just lights one match, all of a sudden there's a lot of light, isn't it? And if you give your mom just a little bit of truth about the Bible, it might open her eye and she might just gravitate towards it. Because moths do fly toward the light. All right. So, any other questions? Dean. The Lamanites, the Nephites, are a fictitious labels on people that never existed in America. They were supposed to be escapees, Jewish escapees that left Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar was surrounding Jerusalem. And so they fled and they paddled across the Atlantic and they got to America and they lived and they created kingdoms and they built temples and they built palaces and they had kings. None of it's been found. So, there are people that are mentioned, people groups that are mentioned in the Book of Mormon that never existed. They are a fairy tale. How many ever read J.R.R. Tolkien's stories of Lord of the Rings? How many ever read those books? All right? Can you imagine if somebody actually made that into a religion? But that's what Joseph Smith did. I know people who, because Star Trek was very popular when I was growing up, they actually wrote down the Klingon language. And in 1986 or whatever, somebody translated the King James Bible into Klingon. That is the most stupid thing you could ever do. They're not real people. But the point is this. Some people are really addicted to that stuff. You understand what I'm saying? And if Star Trek guys, I mean, what's the guy who invented this? What's his name? Do you know when Leonard Nimoy, that's the Jewish symbol for S. That's Shalom. That's a symbol for peace and the Shekinah glory. And when he did that on television the first day, and one of the programs, after that, he'd be walking down the street and somebody go,
I get it.
And it took off. It was a TV show. But it became a cult following, didn't it? I was part of the cult following. So, that's the equivalent of it. He took something and people want to believe it. Kevin. I'll talk about that. I really can't. There's three reasons why people will join a religion. One of them is because they grow up in it. Okay. Another reason is because it fits them. They may be going through a very hard time and they find that a group, maybe it's the Neo-Catechumen way, or maybe it is the Mormons, or maybe it is a Muslim family who take you in when you're hurting, and you just gravitate to that. You don't examine the beliefs. You just want to be like them. Okay. So there are reasons why people get into it. And so we'll look at that in a few weeks if you'll stay with me. Okay, Eric. Okay, the Bible says not to. And it's very emphatic at it. And you're ahead of the game, okay? I'll have to tell you, you must deal with them respectfully, okay? But you must deal with them firmly. Which means, I have developed a thing where I give them, I say, okay, I've even given two guys, 30 minutes to tell me how to become a God. How to get my sins forgiven, how to become right with God, how to earn. 30 minutes! As long as I have the right to tell him how to get born again. Okay? So, give them the chance. Let them talk. Give them 10 minutes to explain. And you got 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, you got to let me talk. And then you just go right for the foundation and just knock down that foundation. All the walls will crumble. Okay? You can do that at the door. But at the same time, there are two people. One of them is in training, usually. Jehovah's Witnesses. One of them is prepared. The other one is in training. And you might shake up one of them. One of them you're not going to change. But hopefully you're going to upset their core values and then realize, you know, we can't pull the charades all over people's lives, eyes forever. We're going to have to admit that there are some things that are wrong. Okay? So. That's right. That's right. Invite them out to church. Invite them out to church. Well, you may have to say, well, you know, if I was looking, I might come to your church, but I'm not looking. I'm satisfied. But if you're looking, you ought to come out. If you'd even dare go against your church and seek and find out if maybe there's a different way, a right way, come out to our church. You're not going to usually make that move, but hopefully you'll plant the seed. Because, listen, those are Mormon missionaries. They've been well trained. But they're going to go home one day. They're going to raise their kids. And at some point, every one of these testimonies I was reading, every one of them, for years, struggled with, Do I even look? Do I even dare ask the question? So inside their heart, they want to. Maybe you'll give them something to later on for them to follow. A doubt, but also a sense that don't give up on God, but turn to the Bible. Yes, Marlene, we're going to have to quit. The name of our religion is Jesus. Right? I am a Christian. I follow Christ. That's all I am. Okay? That's right. Now, I have a label on my tin. Okay? Which is Baptist. As a matter of fact, it's not just Baptist, it's Bible-believing Baptist. So that people can know that these Christians believe the Bible and don't have to have any doubt that when they come to our church, we're not going to have traditions and rituals. We believe the Bible. So, but our religion is Jesus. He's every reason why I am what I am today. It's not the church that made the difference in my life. It's not the doctrine. It's Jesus that did. Okay, so that's the name of our religion. It's Christianity. Christ followers. That's our religion. Okay? Not tonight. Our business meeting is next Sunday night. Nope. All right, let's all stand.